Only Human Radio.
Crikey, what a warm evening. What a very strange night. What day is it? I'm not even sure. Are we still in lockdown? I don't know. Is Kanye West president? I think he might be. I really don't know what's going on anymore. Anyway, we're back here. It's Human Radio. Human Radio? I don't know. Is it? No. Only Human Radio? I don't know. Is it time for a sleepy? Who else is here? Is it just me? Andy, are you there?
I am.
Oh, thank
yeah.
God for that. Yeah. I was getting scared.
I think you're going to need a bit of help tonight.
I think might do. I think all of a sudden it's starting to get to me. It's all getting a bit peculiar. Anyway, the good thing...
What was that? What was that bottle you were swigging out of earlier?
I don't need to know about that. That's a bit of my... That's my special... It's actually a bottle of... I'll give it a little... It's a Great Orme Brewery, Atlantis.
Okay. It's a commercial station
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely. It's a delicious brew, slightly out of date. But still tastes okay. We'll see what happens in the morning. Anyway, the good thing is we're here. We're back. We've got a load of great tunes for you again tonight. Obviously, Andy and I are sitting in the studio. We've got that big screen between us just to make sure that we're properly socially distanced, as always,
we
and
have.
Quite rightly so, because we still are in lockdown. But once again, we have got a very special guest, Andy, haven't we?
We have. Matthew Garnett, sword swinging robot. Yeah.
Good evening.
Hi, Matt. Welcome. You all right?
Very good, thanks.
You're looking good.
Thank you for having me on.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Thank you.
You're looking magnificent as always, Matt. It's good to see you found that big green button to patch yourself through straight to the studio without even any instruction whatsoever. That's always good news.
It's a pro thing. It's
well,
instinct
like
at this point.
Yes, you have been. You have been at this a little bit of a long time, haven't you? How long have you been doing stuff?
I have. I think I was possibly 16, so that's like 24 years.
I thought you were going to say 10 years.
You're all charmer, Andy.
And
I know.
You know, I always remember that the first sequencer I owned was actually a Tracker, and me and my mate rode our bikes down to the internet cafe in Caernarfon in order to download it, because the internet had not reached houses at that point. It was something you had to go and you went to the internet. It didn't live in your pocket.
There is, have you?
And we bought some floppy disks and we installed it.
Got a couple of 3.5 inches and popped it in. So did you? Have you seen that new Tracker that's just come out? Andy's shaking his head at me.
I have. I watched a video about it after you mentioned it, and I was like, okay, then let's have a look. And it does look
amazing.
Like fun.
I've never used a Tracker. I believe they're very, very difficult to use, even if you haven't got a 3.5 inch.
It's something that looks like fun, but I do remember how arduous it was compared to Ableton, where you just like pop a block on a thing. There's part of me that thinks, oh, a different machine, different workflow, that would be fun, but I think I won't torture myself.
Very wise idea. So I think you're first up as well tonight, are you?
Yeah, we've got Matthew's on first. It's a collaboration, isn't it, Matthew?
It is indeed.
It's Bergheist.
Is that how you say it? I'd say Bergheist.
I was saying Berghaus for a while. The tune's called Legacy, isn't it, Matthew?
It is called Legacy, yeah. Legacy, and it's Bergheist, for the record. And yes, this is a good friend of mine, Nick Durham, has been Bergheist for a good long while, and I sort of joined the band a few years ago, and we did some really fun remixes, and we were a four piece with both of our significant others dancing. Because they're both belly dancers, and then we would do the live electronics with some synths and Ableton on the sequencing. And then we kind of went our separate ways for a bit and then came back, and we're working on our first EP since being
Fantastic.
Back. And this is the first tune
Should
of
we listen?
It.
Oh, Should we have a
good
go?
Lord, yes.
Thank you.
Only Human Radio.
Good lord, bark hoist. Heist. Bug heist. What, Matt, why is a bug heist? Or host?
A Barghest is a mythical black dog.
Is that the one from Beth Gellert? Oh, yeah.
That's Gellert.
Yeah, yeah. So the name...
But it's a pretty scary-looking guy, actually. If you Google Barghest, it is a mythical monstrous black dog with large teeth and claws. It's a ghost or household elf.
Or a household elf.
Which doesn't sound scary.
Quite nice as a household elf. But it was a wonderful song. Anyway, that's part of our...
Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely awesome.
I think we've got a little bit of something Skymetastic coming up, Andy, have we?
We have. We've got Dr. Skyme. Dr. Skyme, this is one of... We've heard him with Wasburg.
Yes.
We played them in first episode, I think.
I think it...
Was it the second one?
Crikey. I think it was the first one. Yeah. It was an amazing song.
That was a collaboration. Mm-hmm. This is Dr. Skyme solo. And this is Dr. Skyme doing what Dr. Skyme does best. He's using his Yamaha IY30, and that is all that you're going to hear. So everything that you're about to hear is all generated from his IY30 drum machine.
And were you saying this is a completely, I'm trying to think of the right word, an untweaked, unfettled piece? It is purely out of the machine.
This is a programmed piece. It's a piece of hardware, because you would probably associate programming with door work.
Yeah.
But this is a piece of hardware, a bit of 90s hardware, and he's every beat, every note has been pre-programmed. So when he recorded it, he's basically hit play. But it's a hell of a piece of work in terms of programming it.
I don't know the RY30, so for somebody, anybody else who doesn't know what it is, so what is it? Is it a combination between a synth and a sequencer and a what?
If you had to say what it was, you'd probably say it was a drum machine.
Right.
But it does many, many other things as well. It has many other voices, and the sounds on there are very, very manipulatable.
Right.
Coleocanth? I don't know. So
it's almost like the Digitact of its day, I think, that kind of thing, isn't it? But the sound that he gets out of it every time we've seen him play, I think we've all just stood there and watched as he just rinses this 90s box. And the pure sound in the 90s comes out of it.
The guy kind of knows what he's doing, really, doesn't he? I mean, it's shown in the last one as well.
For sure.
And absolutely. And why don't we have a listen? I mean, obviously, this is slightly different for Dr. Skyme. This man's a bit of a genius at this sort of stuff. But
he is.
This song called?
There's two ways you could pronounce it. You can have Skymery 2, or you can have Skyme RY2. I prefer the second.
Skyme RY2. Let's have a little cheeky listen.
Thank you.
Only Human Radio.
Dr. Skyme. Oh, that was Skyme-tastic.
It was.
That really,
it was brilliant.
That really was amazing.
Yeah.
Almost nice as amazing as your haircut, Andy, which is a phenomenal end-of-lockdown haircut. We were saying before, it looks a little bit, a razor head, a little bit David Lynch, earlier razor head sort of stuff, and not quite as creepy and terrifying, but, you know, it kind of suits you. But, you know, you need an industrial noise sitting behind you constantly now, and a strange alien fish baby wrapped in a blanket by your side. Yeah. So next up, we've got the classic. Was it Benny? Now, Benny Wu, was he on the last? I think he was on the last radio show, wasn't he?
No, he was on Radio One. It was on the Only Human Modulate TV.
Was he?
Yeah, he was very kind. He was kind enough to do a live recording, a live performance.
It was the one we did together.
Hardware performance.
Yes,
yeah, that's the one.
It now,
yeah,
absolutely. And it was it was fantastic. He had some modular kit on there, and
He did. This is taken from his Benny Wu site, and we mentioned he's got a few different personas, but this is from the Benny Wu SoundCloud site, and it's called Magic Door, and it's an absolutely gorgeous piece of music. It's predominantly piano based, but because we love him so much, then he's on.
Well, we were saying before as well, you know, is this a VST piano? Is it? What is it? And you were saying, Andy, it's impossible. That is no way. And if that's a VST piano, he's a genius on it.
Well, if that is programming, fair play. If it isn't programming, fair play. You know, it's just really good.
Tell you what.
Yeah, it's a beautiful performance either way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the note that I made for this one is that there's some songs that you just stop what you're doing and they just demand your full attention and you just sit there and listen to them. And this is absolutely one of those. It's only 2 minutes long, but it is absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, you're not gonna do anything else while you're listening to this one.
Well, Benny Wu, as always, astonishing there. I wish I could have seen the kit he was playing that on, because it's always just, well, it was on the door. So I say seeing the kit he was playing it on. That was a fully door-based piece, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that. I really can't.
Well, it would be great to know. And
I think we should just find out. I'm going to text him and find out.
Yeah, why not? And if anybody wants to write in at onlyhumanradio@gmail.com, that's onlyhumanradio@gmail.com with your opinion. It'd be great to hear from you. Right, I'll skip straight on from that, Andy, shall we? Right, so anyway, that was wonderful. Thank you so, so much. Now, next up, we've got something a little bit special. So I don't know how to start with this one, really. So Matt and Andy, it's probably best if it's left to you two to talk or chat this one through.
I'll jump in. It's fine, it's fine. What we've done is we've put aside a little bit of time for us to listen to one of the tunes that Matt's brought with him tonight. Also have a little bit of chat about the tune itself, and because it is a remix, then Matt's going to give us a little bit of an insight into his love of remixing or his techniques or whatever he'd like to talk about, really. What's the tune that you brought with you, Matt?
So this is Given Love by Bone Cult.
Okay. And we'll be listening to it's the Sword Swinging Robot remix of that tune.
Yes.
So how deep is the remix? I mean, how different? I've not heard the original, so I don't know what you've done with it or what the processes were.
Yeah, it is quite a departure from the original. There's pretty much, I think, the vocals and some of the effects, but with Bone Cult, their vocal and their processing is so extensive that the vocal becomes pads.
Right.
And melodies in itself, but pretty much the original was a bit more. I kind of felt like it was a bit of a sort of a two-step kind of garage feeling, but with Bone Cult's kind of harder edge on there as well. It was kind of mashing up those styles, and then I thought, well, if you're throwing back to a bit of garage, I'll throw back to a bit of breakbeat, and I kind of went the other way and. Stuck some, lots of breaks on it and a 303 at the end because I had to.
Well, you can't not.
Got to happen. It's got to happen.
One of the things that's really surprised me about two of the tunes that you brought with you tonight, I mean, we know you for Sword Swinging Robot. We know you for the fantastic original music that I've been listening to for the last couple of years. But the two tunes you brought with you tonight, one's a collaboration. And another one is a remix. So remixing must be very close to your heart. Is it something that you've always done? Is it something that you've always been into? Or what's the attraction?
Yeah. It's always something that I've done. I think going back, I don't even know how long. I think I did a remix of Stronger by Lamb, which is like on their third album. And I think they've just released their seventh. Right. So that sort of shows it. But it's something that I've always loved doing. I think getting a song, you have to like the song, but feel like you can hear something different in it. And then it's kind of like Christmas when you get a folder full of stems and you just get to listen to all the parts. And quite often you'd be like, oh, that's clever. Oh, that's cool. I didn't quite hear that. And it's hearing those little hidden depths in songs. But then picking the bits that you like and maybe trying to twist it a little bit. And
just a quick question, so when you get that pack of stems through, where do you start with that? So do you start with the bass beat first, or do you start with the percussion? Where do you start with the whole thing?
I tend to start with leads or pads and kind of melodies. I went through a period of starting with drums, and every time I started with drums, it would be like kick sample, boom, 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 and just like going through samples, and it was just boring. And I didn't finish many tracks that way. So I try and find the parts with this track, it's the vocal and the kind of pads that drift out of that. And then I tend to try and work out what the notes actually are, and then play something that works with that, and then I'll work down to a bass line and start with put some kind of drums on there, which more often than not is just like an 808 software synth that I've got, so that I don't waste time looking for sounds initially. You just put something like an 808 is a nice solid thing. It's never going to sound bad, so just to give you an idea of how you where your remix is going to go, and then you can replace it all and get as crazy as you want. But that's where I tend to start. I know a lot of people start with drums and work up, but I just found that really uninspiring.
Do you follow a code or any rules when you're remixing? Is there any do's or don't do's?
One remix that I did for a friend was at 180 BPM and it was 18 minutes long. Right. I haven't done that since, because I made him sit through
it. Right, okay.
And objectively, it can only have been terrible. I remember it as being good, right. But when I can't imagine how it could possibly have been right. That. But other than that, I think I've been really lucky to do a number of remixes for different bands. And everyone, it's just fun. You start with not a blank slate, but you start with the track and then just go from there.
I was going to ask you, I mean, on that theme, how much do you strip out? How much is that? What's the tipping point? When does it stop being a remix and turn into a sword swinging robot tune? Are you conscious of stripping too much out and keeping enough of the original in there?
I think I kind of have the opposite problem, where my remixes sometimes sound quite similar to the original, because I'll like the original, so I'll keep the verses and choruses, right. Or I'll keep the leads in, and then I'll put new parts in. But I'm trying to be a bit more straying away a little bit more. But I think it should sound adjacent to the original, but it's like the Upside Down, if you're Stranger Things
fan.
And I think that's where the fun comes in. And I've been very really lucky to work with people, yourself included, Andy, who've whatever I've given you has just been, you've never come back and gone, what? But why has it got all of that in it? Why couldn't it sound more like the original?
You did my photocopy tune about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you made it sound... You transformed it from a sort of tinny synth pop tune into this quite dramatic something that wouldn't be out of place in a, I'm going to use the word, in a soundtrack.
I tell you what, let's have a listen to the track. Let's see what you've done, Matt, and then we can talk a little bit more about it on the other side, or on the underside, whichever way you want to look around it. It's I can't wait to hear this. Anyway, it's going to be fantastic. Brilliant stuff. So this is, I've written down Benelux. It's not Benelux. It's Bone Cult.
Only Human Radio. We'll be right back.
Bone Cult. That was amazing. Matt, that was a phenomenal remix. Well, I say that, the original, but I enjoyed that one very much. I'm going to have to go and listen to the original now, but that was amazing. Well done, Bone Cult. Yeah. Well done, you, mate, as well. That was superb. So, well, it's time for possibly what has been voted the UK's number one jingle for the last 2 weeks. Solidly, actually. So here we go. It's
Andy's Gear Geek Corner.
What does that knob do? Oh. Yes, indeed it is. We've all been looking forward to this. So I'll hand over to Andy for
Andy's Gear Geek Corner.
What does that knob do? Oh.
Right, okay. Unwillingly, I've been thrust into the limelight. Being a self-confessed complete gear idiot, I'm going to attempt to talk to Matthew, Sword Swinging Robot, about the Electron Analog 4.
You've not gone in too shallow then, have you? You've gone straight into the deep end there, Andy, haven't you? You've gone with a big bit of kit.
Well, Matt's described it as the Swiss Army synth. So that's got to be my first question is... Why Definitely. Is it called? Why do you think it's the Swiss Army synth? What can this thing do? Because it's I love Swiss Army penknives, and if there's a synth that is akin to that, then I'm all ears.
Yeah, I think that this synth has absolutely changed the way I make music, and certainly the way that I perform live. It's in every single tune that I do. And it's usually there multiple times, like the Bone Cult remix. It's doing all three of the bass parts, and it's doing the main melody line that starts the song and ends it. It's doing pretty much everything apart from the 303. And especially for live, it's a four-part analog synth, so you can play four different parts at the same time, and you just never run out of sound. From it can do whatever you want, and then there's usually a part left over, so it'll do some weird effecty bits if you want.
So are you modifying presets, or is it you're starting off with waves and then taking it right from the ground up?
Yeah, it's ground up every time with this one as well, and I think that's the thing that I love about it, is that I don't start from presets, unlike soft synths. So the process is totally different, where I start from not a crappy sounding, but a saw wave. So everything I do sounds like to start with. But then you sculpt that from the ground up every time, and it will usually guide you to maybe make something different than you had in mind initially. But if you throw enough LFOs at a problem, you come out with something cool. That's my philosophy.
So can you see what makes? I mean, so far it's a four voice, four oscillator analog synth.
Yeah.
Why is it so invaluable to you? Why is it? Is it fair to say it's at the heart of your live setup?
Absolutely.
Do you sequence from it, for example?
Yes, I think that's the thing that makes all the difference for me, is that every synth I had up until that point, I had the Dave Smith Mofo, which I still have, and the Arturia Microfreak, and those are synths that you can play little bits on, but then you have to record them somehow, and then you initialize a new patch and you do something different. Whereas the Analog 4, it has the Electron sequencer, which is amazing, 64-step sequencer with all sorts of crazy conditional triggers possible. So you can make things play only the first time through. You can make it play the second and fourth time through, the third and sixth time through. However, so you can build up these really evolving patches. You can build up these really long like pads. You can slow one of the sequences down, so it'll be half the speed of the other ones and play something that lasts twice as long. So it's really great for long pads, which is one of the things that I really enjoy.
Did it get the polyrhythmic update as well? Can you do polyrhythm?
Yeah. It did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing. I updated it because I needed that for a specific track for the live performance, and just being able to say, this sequencer runs at full speed and it's going to do 64 steps. This sequencer is going to do 32 steps and it's going to run at quarter speed now, or something like that.
I'm right up there with your polyrhythmics, but for those of us who don't know what the polyrhythmic part... I don't know either. For those of us who don't know, could you just explain what the polyrhythmic part is, please?
I'll let Matt do that.
I will hazard it. For me, I think it's... You can have different step lengths and different speeds on each of the sequences. So if you have one that is running over 8 steps, you can have one that's running 6 steps and one that's running 5 steps if you wanted to, and then they will gradually slip out of time and come back into time and revolve around each other in really interesting ways or terrible ways, depending on what sound. Probably initially terrible and then possibly towards interesting by the time you've messed with it.
It's a fantastic way, even though 64 steps is quite a lot. It can make it sound infinite, can't it, Matthew? It's sort of because of the
definitely
the element of chance when it. I mean, you've said that sometimes it can sound bad, sometimes it can sound great, but if you hit the sweet spot with polyrhythms, it can just seem like an evolving, emerging, everlasting pattern, can't it? I mean, it does eventually unwind and get back to the start, doesn't it? But it feels a lot longer than 64.
Yeah, absolutely, and you can stretch that 64 out for however many times you want, then it'll be subtly different every time. And I think that one thing that we all try and get away from is just that loop that goes round and round and round and round. We all want a little bit of movement, it's brilliant for that.
Fantastic. So can you trigger other instruments with it? Can you MIDI out to it, for example?
I think you can now in the new firmware update, but that was something that Electron held fast on for so long, for years and years, because you can sequence CV, but you could not do MIDI, and
is
they would not
they
let you
to
do
buy
MIDI
an Octatrack?
Because they sell an Octatrack. Absolutely, yeah. So I am a confessed Electron fanboy. So I sequence the Octatrack on itself. I sequence the Analog 4. I just keep everything in each of the boxes, and they all just play so well with each other. So on the Octatrack, you say B, pattern 3. And then when next time you go around the loop, the Ritm and the Analog 4 are playing pattern 3, and it's like you've just got one giant synth with three brains. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's interesting because quite often people will... one of the criticisms I see of Electron is the menu diving. For example, the Digitact and Digitone, they're a little bit... If you want to do that live tweaking, it can be a bit tricky. But so the Analog 4 is better prepared for live performance by the sounds of it.
I think so, yeah. And I think compared to... the good thing is you've got rotary encoders as well, so you skip between, if you're on the filter page, you just skip between each of your four voices and you just turn the knob and the filter goes up or down, whereas fair enough, a big knobby synth
I met him
is great,
I think,
but every time you load a new patch, all those knobs are in the wrong place, so you have to then move them back, so there's none of that awkward jumpiness or anything like that.
There is a digital element to it, though, isn't there? I mean, you can save your creations and your patches and what have you.
Definitely. I think they market it as like digital mind, analog soul or something
that.
They did have a very good marketing campaign for it. And, you know, you can't argue with that. Digital in control of sound. And it's just you switch it on and it works. Unlike some of the synths that we've seen where it has to warm up or... I think one of the Dreadbox ones, it sounded amazing once it decided to make a noise, but that might be 5 minutes.
I had a DeepMind 12 for a little while, and it was a 12-voice polyphonic synthesizer, and as it warmed up, and sometimes that, even when it was warmed up, the voices would just meander left, right, and centre, and it would create this fantastic, unusual set of noises, weren't necessarily what you wanted it to do, but it would be a very interesting experience and journey it was taking you on.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was possibly one of the most entertaining and interesting.
Andy's Gear Geek Corner.
What does that knob do? Oh.
So far. And superb. Thank you very much, Matt. Andy, again.
Cheers, Matthew.
Thank you for indulging.
You're going to have to go and buy one now.
Yeah, I'm just going to want to go and do that now. And also now we've got a cracking song coming up from Jitterbug Boy, and I wish people would stop putting the names of songs that are so difficult to pronounce. This is about the third one tonight. So what is it? Is it Almodovar?
Almodovar.
Only Human Radio.
Jitterbug Boy. That was, well, I would say, what would you, rather than me say, why don't you say first? Andy and Matt, what would you say that sounded a little bit like?
I thought it was a bit dubby in places.
I had dubby written down as well, yeah. The bass in that is great.
Well on,
yeah.
And then the leads and pads, you just sit there.
Now you've said it, you see, I wish I'd written down dubby. I've just written down perfect electro pop. But I think dubby actually describes that a lot better.
It kind of emerges to being a bit dubby a bit later on. It goes that way, yeah. But whenever I listen to Andy's music, I always think it's night time, and I always think I'm in a city.
Is it because when you listen to it, normally it's night time and you're in a city? Is that anything to do with it?
Yes. Maybe.
It's like when I listen to Duran Duran, normally I think I'm sitting on a beach in some shorts, because I am. And so, but... You know, that's just me.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune.
And moving on to another amazing tune as well. So we've got Isis Murray. So, you know, I'm gonna get this wrong once again, Andy. So was Isis Murray on the TV thing we did, or was it on the radio? Or what?
When we were planning tonight, it was a kind of bring some tunes. So Matt brought two tunes he's involved in, and he also brought the Isis Murray tune with him as well in his sort of digital record bag. So Isis Murray, The Mirror. Yes, we met her at Nexus, didn't we, Matt?
We did. We had our Only Human Christmas party.
That's right.
Went and had a burger and then went and boogied on in the Technodrome for a while. And yeah, we got there just as she was playing. And I think I just went straight up to the biggest speaker I could find and stayed there for the rest of her set.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And then we slightly mobbed her afterwards and like, you're amazing, you're amazing.
Yeah, we did.
Do you want to join in? We've got a good group.
Whose voice is that? Is that yours?
That's definitely me. I wouldn't put that voice on anyone else.
But I think we were all slightly in awe of what she did live, to be honest. It put a completely different spin on live electronic music for me. It sounded absolutely brilliant. So we kind of hustled her a bit at the end of a set to try and get her involved. But Matt, you've been in touch and you've got a tune off her, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw she posted about this and I actually thought of you when I saw the picture because it's available on tape.
Oh, yes.
So I thought, well, Isis Murray and it's available on tape. I've got to go check this one out. And it is absolutely stunning. From the first notes on the piano, it's got such a gorgeous vocal, and then it's the beats and the bass come in, and there's actually I was listening to it again today, and there's a one of the lyrics is "All you can ask for and more," and it is one of those tunes where you're like, oh, I could just do with a pad here, or and it'll come in, and it's absolute hands in the air gorgeousness.
I mean, I don't want to sort of dull it down a bit, but I was really impressed with the production as well. It just hits you like.
Yeah.
It just sounds such a professional piece of music. It's beautifully
made. Can I pull my Evolving Soundscape card out of the bag? I'll stick that one in there for this one. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but it's once an episode, so I'm going to stick Evolving Soundscape on that one. That's anyway I could think to describe it. It was beautiful. Yeah,
it reminded me of, I think, is it Wide Open on one of the last but one Chems album, and It with Beck on vocal, and then the track just builds underneath it, and you end up with this total euphoric feeling by the end of the track. And this definitely did that for me.
Tell you what, why don't we have a listen? This is called The Mirror from Isis Murray. This really is a beautiful piece of music, fantastically constructed, an absolutely genuinely masterful piece of music making. Let's have a listen.
Now don't mind.
Only Human Radio.
Isis Murray, The Mirror. That really was beautiful. That was lovely. I've never met her. You guys have, but I've fallen in love with the general tone of the music.
And yeah, she's great.
She's amazing. And again, it is difficult when we've got such a high class set of entertainment on for the whole evening that eventually there has to come to a pinnacle of the evening where there is something which just outshines everything else that sits around it, like some kind of spectacle in the sky that everybody stands back amongst a city full of lights, looking up at the sky in amazement that all of a sudden something has brightened up all of our lives. It's you, Andy. It's you. You're coming up next.
Yeah.
It's Andy Peggs with, I tell you what, you Sonny and Ricardo, can you just explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's the first names of Crockett and Tubbs from Miami Vice.
But it isn't a reproduction of the theme tune.
No. It's, I found an old PC in my loft, so I was going to rip it up and salvage something, but I turned it on instead, realised that I had an old version of Cubase SX on there from about 2005, booted it up, started playing, and came up with this tune. So it's a door tune, and it just sounded like the current synth wave, yacht wave, kind of stuff, and it reminded me of Miami Vice. So Sonny and Ricardo,
and you've got a bit Dawtastic on this one as well, haven't you?
Yeah, it's just one virtual instrument, the Pro 53.
Now, I would say, I don't know your past experience that well, Andy, to be honest with you, but I would say, because everything I've seen you do in the time I've known you is pretty much 90% hardware based. So,
yeah.
Is this a major diversion for you to go into something which is just 100%
dull? In terms of my prodding musical instruments, it's a relatively new development for me. I used to use Notator in like 1992 and things like that. So I've been a big user of Cubase for many years, and it's only quite recently, up until boxes started to become a little bit more affordable, than that I could sort of jump onto that, really.
So, I mean, obviously the question everybody's thinking about at the same time, I'm sure it's on the tip of everybody's lips. So if you were going to be Crockett or Tubbs, which one would you be?
Tubbs.
Yeah, everybody, clearly.
He got less lines, but he just looked cooler.
Yeah, he was way cooler, way cooler. Crockett was a bit of a dick, really. But, you know... Well, he was. Everybody was thinking it then. Everybody was thinking it. With his jacket.
I would imagine this was the piece of music, in my head, this was the piece of music for the final episode of Miami Vice. It had run its course. It was something like, I don't know, still going in the early 90s. No one was watching it. And this was the last episode as Tubbs sailed away into the Miami sunset on his yacht.
Tell you what,
listening to yacht waves.
Why don't we have a listen? Put your alligator in the cellar, roll your sleeves up, jump inside your Ferrari, switch it on. Let's just drive straight down the boulevard. Here we go.
Thank you.
Only Human Radio.
Anyway, that was a wonderful song. It really was. It was fantastic. Right. Superb. Now we've got something really rather special coming up next, actually. So we've got our very good friend Matt Siddle, who has put something together specifically for tonight. And we were talking about it before. So Matt plays as Red Five, and this is really... It's quite a deep and meaningful and moving piece of music. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound comedic, but I don't mean it that way. But what I wrote down for this was Human League turns into the Human Centipede. Now, that's purely because it starts off as a very, very light piece and moves to quite a...
It doesn't.
Well, then we're saying that. Yeah, I was trying to lighten it up. It was relatively light at the start, but it gets dark. But it does get very dark.
Comparatively light at the start.
Thank you. Comparatively light.
It's such an amazing tune, and straight away he's in there with those FM basses, just really gnarly, and synth drones. Matt's got his whole toolkit out for this one, and it blows me away.
He has,
every time.
Considering Matt's only been doing this stuff for, I don't know, a couple of years, maybe not even that long, the songs he's producing at the moment really are quite extraordinary, this one included. And we were talking about before that in some ways they're hard to describe because there is so much going on in there, and they actually bring out so many emotions inside you when you listen to his stuff, and you can really feel what he's put inside there. You can feel his genuine involvement inside the song. Yeah. Something of himself goes inside there.
Definitely.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah. Sorry, Matthew, what were you going to say?
I was just thinking when we were talking earlier about how gear now is the barrier to entry has been lowered so much. And I think Matt is a perfect example of he uses the Behringer Model Ds, and he's got two of them. So imagine having two mini, he might have three of them, two or three mini Moog Ds on your tune. It would be unthinkable, but bringing that equipment to what Behringer have done, like them or don't, they've brought it to a price point where it's that sound is accessible to us all now. And the way that Matt puts them to such good use is amazing.
Thank you.
no hit.
Siddle, Red 5 with Vanta. Well, that really was quite, I don't know, emotive, emotional. Just all sorts, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was amazing. It was a trip. That's right, man. That's probably the best way to describe that. That was a journey. I genuinely thoroughly enjoyed that. I enjoy everything that Matt does. And we asked Matt to do that specially for us a couple of weeks ago, and he put that whole thing together specifically for this show. So thank you so much, Matt. There's an awful lot of effort gone into that, and we genuinely, genuinely appreciate the effort that goes in. So thank you very much indeed. Can you believe it? It's last tune. It's last tune of the night.
It is, and it's a stonker as well.
It's a stormer. It's a storming Norman Schwarzkopf of a song. This is somebody I sort of stumbled across on Bandcamp. And when I stumbled across it, I sent it over to Andy and said, have a listen to that. I think that might be pretty amazing, actually. And Andy had a listen to it and came back and said, yeah, that is pretty amazing, actually. So
we
thought we'd perhaps just try and approach them and just see whether they would be okay with us playing the song. And it was quite standard that they came back and said, yeah, we'd be absolutely delighted. So this is a band called Destination Unknown. And they are... it's hard to describe, really. So this is one person. So when you listen to this, it's hard to really appreciate that this is just one person creating this whole sound. Now, they sent across, the person sent across, the gear list. So I'm just going to quickly rattle out the gear list for this song. So here we go. Moog Mother Semi-Modular Synth, an AE Modular System, a Roland JDXI, a Roland TR-08, a Roland MX-1, a Korg Electribe 2, Korg Volca Bass, Korg Volca Keys, some EFX pedals, a MIDI Tech keyboard, APC Mini, Launch Control Novation, M Audio B, don't actually know what that is, and also obviously the artist Destination Unknown. So that's what went into this in the first place. It started back in 2001 when he started making music just with a laptop, so that's like 19 years ago, with plugins. Always wanted to set up his own studio and start buying his own hardware stuff, so started to slowly make the transition to actually do that and work with hardware. And this is one of the pieces that came out of that whole performance, of that whole bringing those things together.
Thank you.
was Destination Unknown Ganymede. That was astonishing. So if you want to hear a little bit more from Destination Unknown, just go to destinationunknown.bandcamp.com or just search for Destination Unknown on Bandcamp, which I think is how I found them in the first place. That was amazing. Thank you so much for letting us play that, Destination Unknown. That really was an astonishing piece of work, and we hope to be playing more of your stuff again in the future. I can't believe this is the end of the night. This is it again. Episode 3 ending. Andy, it's a sad time. So
yeah, it does. It flies.
It does. But what a wonderful evening we've had. Maybe you can just run us down the 9 astonishing artists that we've had tonight, Andy.
Okay, fine. Yeah, brilliant. We started off with Bargheist, Legacy.
Bargheist.
And that was Matt's collaboration. Who was it again? Nick?
With Nick Durham.
I've met Nick. He's a nice fella.
Yeah.
Then we had Dr. Skyme with Skymery 2 or Skyme RY2, depending on how you like that. Benny Wu, Magic Door. We had a chat with Matthew, a lovely chat about remixing. Then we had Bone Cult, Matt's Sword Swinging Robots remix of Given Love, followed by Jitterbug Boy, Almodovar. We had a bit of Isis Murray, The Mirror. We had me, Sonny and Ricardo, Crockett and Tubbs. Yacht Wave. Red 5, Vanta, and then Destination Unknown with Ganymede.
That was, what a lineup. I've got to say, every week, it's hard to say that was better than last week or the week before, but every week's just amazing. But there really were some top-notch songs on there tonight.
I always feel very enthusiastic about the music that we've just listened to, so
yeah,
it's my new favourite playlist tonight.
Well, it is, and again, I'm going to happily listen to that many times more, but thank you so much to everybody that's put the effort into providing those songs for us tonight. We do know and understand the effort and the time and the motivation that has to go into doing this stuff, but also the talent that sits behind it as well, which is quite astonishing and has been shown tonight, and particularly with some people who haven't been doing this that long. Matthew, Sword Swinging Robot, thank you so much for your insight into
Andy's Gear Geek Corner.
What does that knob do?
Oh. We all love that jingle. So thank you so much for your insight into the Analog 4. Was it the Analog 4? I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, there we go. It showed.
Yeah,
there
we go. Electronic.
I thought it was. It's obviously absorbed.
Thank you for letting me blether about this.
No. Massively. Absolutely fascinating.
And a masterful interview there, Andy, as well, I must say. It's quite extraordinary. So anyway, it has been a wonderful night. Thank you so much, Matt. Andy, it's down to you to give the big goodbye once more.
Yeah, just before I do say goodbye, I just want to mention, if anybody wants to send any tunes, then they can send it to onlyhumanradio@gmail.com.
What was that email address again, Andy?
It was onlyhumanradio@gmail.com.
Thank goodness you repeated that the second time around.
We really, really, if you want us to play tunes and have a chat about them, please send us your tunes.
Absolutely, we would be delighted to.
And,
and you know, again, experience is not a limiter to anything. Please just send your stuff in. We would be delighted to play it. And we all have to start somewhere. And you just listen to some of the stuff tonight with people who haven't been doing this that long at all. It's quite extraordinary. So anyway, thank you to everybody again once more. Andy, it's down to you to give us the big goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, that was lovely. I feel a little bit sad by that one. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Only Human Radio.